Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADcast episode 150. I am Cheapy D. I am here in Tokyo, Japan. We have Wombat in wonderful Massapequa, Long Island.
I am still here. They haven't kicked me out yet.
And joining us for our special 150th episode is Bob.
Hello. You actually got my name right that time. I'm nobody famous or anything this time.
Well, I was going to do it. See, you screwed up my whole plan. See, I forgot that your name is really Bob. Right. Everything just backfired.
Has anyone ever called you Bob?
No, I don't go by that at all.
No, so you're supposed to... Let's try this again. But you're supposed to say Bob who? Okay. So okay. Joining us today is Bob.
Bob who?
Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey, Baba Booey.
Yeah, it was funnier the first time.
Yeah, Bob doesn't work too well with my last name. It just Bob Good just doesn't sound like a very good name. It
sounds like a very good name.
If you're a chick.
All right, well, we're off to a great start today. Before we get into things, we have a huge show for you today. I mean, it's just jam-packed. I mean, not only do we have Shipwreck here, we've got Wombat at Comic-Con to go over. We've got Street Fighter, a full Street Fighter 4 review, Flower review. I'm sure Shipwreck has got some games to talk about. We're going to talk about Killzone, the Killzone 2 demo. Tons of stuff to talk about. I just want to mention briefly why there was no show last week, because people get very upset when we don't do a show, Wombat.
Yes, they do.
People are yelling at me. Like, I posted something on CAG the other day, and they were like, why are you posting this? You should be, you know, putting out a new CADcast. It's ridiculous. So the reason why there was no show last week was we postponed the show for a day because it was a holiday in Japan and my wife and kid were home. And then the next 2 days, Ty was home sick with me. So it just was impossible for us to do a show. And now I am sick. I've gotten the cold that Ty has, which just seems to happen a lot. So, but I'm going to be a trooper, Wombat. We're going to get through this.
Excellent. Together. I think you can make it. I mean, honestly, I have a pretty bad cold myself. Right. But I'm hopped up on enough drugs where I should be fine.
Oh, yeah. I just took some Sudafed, so I think I'll be good to go.
Or you'll fall asleep in the middle. One or the other.
Yes. I want to... Let's see. I want to give a few updates. Actually, no. I'm going to wait a bit for those updates. I heard, Wombat, I know that you celebrated Valentine's Day last week.
Yes, it was Valentine's Day. Well, not really last week. It was 3-4 days ago. It's not even really a week.
Oh, okay. I mean, we didn't do anything because Ty was sick, but I heard that you got a very good Valentine's Day gift from your wife.
I did. Well, it was sort of like the everybody wins gift. It really was. I got
a bowling ball that had your wife's name on it?
Exactly. I got a bowling ball called Marge. I got a set of X4 wireless headphones.
The Turtle Bay Ear Force.
Ear Force, yeah. The Ear Force X4's wireless headphones. And they're pretty awesome. I mean, they're just badass.
I told you. Those are the Dolby Digital headphones that have, like, the chat stuff built in for Xbox 360.
Those are the $200 headphones.
Yes, those are the big baller headphones.
Well, they were on sale at Amazon for a little while, and that's when she bought them, and she hid them in the house.
Oh, there was a really good deal on. They were the deal of the day one day, I think.
Yeah, it wasn't that deal, but it was still, so it was, like, in the middle of that.
Oh, it's like $160 probably.
Yeah, something like that.
No, I think they're great. I find myself using them even like if I'm home alone and I could actually turn the volume on full blast on my surround sound. But you don't actually have a surround sound set up, right?
Well, with the baby, and now that the baby is sort of starting to crawl, we removed all the speakers that I used to have because they had wires. So there's no wires on the floor.
I see.
And since I had to put my speakers into storage, this was like the, well, I feel bad that you, because my wife could care less about 5.1 surround sound.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't know, she doesn't care. So the headphones are for me, so because I care. And since I'm the only one who cares, I'm the only one who has to hear it. That's wow. Yeah.
Ship, did you get anything for Valentine's Day? I got nothing.
No, we don't really celebrate Valentine's Day. It's too close to my birthday. So we just bypass that. We had some Taco Bell.
That's so romantic.
Yeah, we watched the NBA dunk competition. It was a good Valentine's Day.
That's beautiful.
So I had the largest steak I've ever had in my life.
Oh, you went out for dinner also?
Yeah, it was insane. Well, we went out to dinner with my parents because they wanted to see the baby.
Right, of course.
They wanted to see the baby for Valentine's Day. And we said, sure, you can buy me dinner. And I got a steak that was, I shared it with my father. It was 4 inches thick and about a foot long. It was a rib steak. It was insane. Yep. It was really good, too. But that's that story.
Sounds good. It was. So Shipwreck had a 30th birthday. So what'd you get for your birthday?
Not too much video game-wise. Nothing video game-wise, actually. I got a Sanyo Exacti HD camcorder.
Oh, right.
A 720p one.
Yeah, that's, you like it?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I really haven't... All I've done is videotape... my niece's birthday is the day after mine. So after my party, we had a 4-year-old birthday party. So I went over there and taped some of that. That probably won't go up on CAC.
I think we need to see the Shipwreck, the world-famous Shipwreck collection of video games.
And just some funny cat videos.
In my basement?
Yeah.
All right, I'll take some video then and get it up there. And then I got a Apple Airport Express, I think is what it's called.
Yeah.
It's the little one that just plugs into the wall and extends your network. So that was pretty much it. I got a couple G.I. Joe Mighty Mugs as well.
Right. Oh, yeah, you Excellent. Should also videotape your G.I. Joe collection.
Yeah, they're all in tubs right now.
You should take a bath and you should pour them all into the bathtub and then get in.
You know what I got in the mail today, speaking of Mighty Mugs? I got the Red Skull and the Thanos Mighty Mugs. I had to order them online because they're preview exclusives.
How old are you up to now?
How many Marvel Mighty Mugs? I have all the Marvel Mighty Mugs except for the Peter Parker and the movie Iron Man because those are really not attainable. So, but I have the rest. So I think about 15, maybe? 15 Mighty Mugs?
Wow. That's 15 more than I have.
It is 15 more than you have. Whatever. I have a really nice bookshelf that has nothing on them but Mighty Mugs, and I think that's cool.
And you stand alone.
I do stand. There's a very popular thread on your forums that would beg to differ.
Well, that's true.
And the other host of the show tonight got Mighty Mugs for his 30th birthday.
So I stand alone, okay? You happy?
Somebody's standing
alone here, and it's I guess it's me.
It is you.
I almost bought them, actually. I saw them at Toys R Us. They're having like a sale. I think my local Toys R Us is going out of business. I'm not sure, but like, I noticed they haven't stocked any video game consoles in a long time, so I'm wondering if if they're just doing some inventory management or they're just going under. And I saw a bunch of Star Wars Mighty Mugs there, and they were all 50% off, and I didn't buy any of them, but mostly because I hate Star Wars now after the last 3 Star Wars movies. Basically, my love affair with Star Wars died years ago.
I know it's sad. It's very sad, and I kind of agree with you, so... I mean,
did you see the this movie trailer for this movie that's coming out called The People versus George Lucas? And it seems to be like the focus of the movie is, or part of the focus of the movie is how people are now, are really anti-George Lucas for what he's done to the Star Wars franchises.
As they should be. And you still haven't seen the new Indiana Jones, right?
Yeah, I'm not watching it.
Yeah, it's so bad. Have you seen it?
No, I refuse to watch that too.
Yeah, it's like if it's ever on cable or if you ever come across it, it's worth watching just so you could say that you suffered through it.
Yeah. All right, let's do some show feedback, even though this is from 2 weeks ago. We had some good stuff that I want to bring up again. The biggest thing that I want to talk about is what I'm referring to as the fart that's heard around the world.
Way to butcher that line, by the way. The fart that is heard around the world, huh?
Right. That's what I'm calling it, Wombat.
Yes, I see that.
So Ty23 one of our listeners basically heard a fart on our show, on our last show, and he blamed me for the fart, and then I made a video on YouTube detailing how proving that it was actually Wombat who farted and not me. And it's a very entertaining video, I must admit.
It was very funny and true. It was me. Whatever. It was a squeaker.
Yeah, you should be embarrassed, actually, because it was such a weak fart.
It was a wimpy fart. That's the only thing that I'm embarrassed about. Like, if next time I fart on the air, it'll be louder and more riptastic, I promise.
You should stand up, actually.
Now, weren't you sunk down into a beanbag chair?
No, I'm sitting on a chair.
Oh, okay. That was pretty weak then. I thought you were getting muffled from that beanbag.
Well, it's not like
chair,
I had the mic up to my butt.
Next time, though. Next time.
I was like, next time, no. That's what I'll do for sure.
I showed the video to my wife, and she's like, "Oh, I don't need the video. You know, I don't need to see the waveform to know it. That's not your fart. Like, your farts don't sound like that. That's weak." So I win. Anyway, you can go to youtube.com/GPD, and you can watch the fart video. And Johnny Fox Darko said, "Hey, Wombat, your gas sounds a lot like when Mario jumps." And I almost made a video where I was going to edit in your fart sound into Super Mario Brothers, but
that would have been great.
Yeah, someone could do that. I give somebody else the permission to do that if they want.
Good for you.
Also, last week I talked a bit about my crazy maid, how she got into basically a fight with my wife over the phone, and people wanted to know what was up with that. And I have a little update for you. Yes, my wife fired her. But I left out one part of the story, one of the other weird things that she did. And I'll have to post a photo of this. She took our curtains down and she put them in the washer dryer. And like Japanese dryers, they're, you know, a lot of people hang their clothes out to dry because Japanese dryers are pretty much known to make everything very wrinkly. So she washed our curtains, and our curtains looked like they were just rolled up into a ball and, you know, sat there for 5 hours because they look like, you know, they look like somebody slept in them, basically. This was really awkward. So my wife wants the company to pay for the dry cleaning for the curtains. It's a whole thing. But I'll post a picture of that. There's a lot of comments about Far Cry 2 and the save system. I don't know if I could read all this, though. It's a lot. Some people basically said they appreciated the difficult save system in Far Cry 2 because it added an extra level of tension to the game. But a lot of people said, hey, we don't have that much time to play games. Those of us who have a family and jobs, and to have to lose 45 minutes of your game because there wasn't a convenient save location is just, you know, sort of more trouble than it's worth. And then Perontheus points out that in the Far Cry 2 PC version, you can save anywhere. Anyway, without getting into it too much again, I thought that was interesting. Some other feedback I want to read from Limp Daddy, who sort of calling me out on my bad attitude. He says, "I love the mix of bullshit and games that you guys throw into the show every week. Makes me laugh and relate to you guys a lot more than other podcasts. This week had a great blend of that vibe. For the record, I listen to a bunch of other gaming podcasts. Lately, it seems like these shows have been mentioning you, Cheapy, a lot. I think that's pretty cool. My problem is that I think you don't really appreciate it. For example, when the 1UP guy mentions your name, you should be like, cool, and not, oh, what the fuck? I don't know what he's talking about. Cheapy, embrace it and be a little more humbled by it. I know you are an internet space pimp and all, but you don't always have to sound like a douche when it comes to that stuff. Cheapy, I love you and the show. I will always be a fan and listener." Well, I am the Douche of the Year award.
Yeah, you are the reigning douchebag of the year, 2008. Right. Yeah.
It's not too early to start my campaign for 2009.
You're well on your way.
I didn't, when I said that about the whatever the new 1UP show is called, I didn't mean it to sound like I wasn't, you know, grateful. I love when anybody mentions me. In fact, you know.
It's called Two Girls, 1UP.
I don't think that's what it's called.
It should be.
I didn't mean it like that. I just meant I was sort of surprised to hear it. And if I offended
Garnet Lee.
The guy. Garnet Lee.
From Listen Up.
Not Two Girls, 1UP. Anyway, yeah, I didn't mean it like that. And I realize I can come off that way sometimes. He also says, I'm wondering if you've given any thought taking CAG to the next level. Try to expand it beyond just the Deals community site, but by adding reviews and news. Maybe you should talk about to some of the X1UP guys and bring them on board to work with Wombat and Shipwreck. To work with Wombat? Boy, you're way off.
I don't need your grief.
You could create a super site that covers all the CAGs and all the good stuff that 1UP did. You seem to be doing fine without this, and why risk it, right? But I think if it really took off, I don't really want to do what other sites are already doing well. I can understand, like, the review stuff, that's sort of different because people know my personality, Wombat's personality, Shipwreck's personality, and some other people on the site. And people would be, I think, could be interested in hearing what all of us have to say about different games. But in terms of, like, general gaming news, I don't know. I think it's done to death at this point, and I don't know if we could really add anything interesting on that front. You know, we're expanding the site, and I'll talk about that more in a little bit, to cover things that are shopping related, and I think that'll always be our focus, right? I mean, do you disagree, guys?
No, I think that's exactly right. I mean, I get all the emails that I see posted everywhere 15 minutes later on all the news websites. And it's just like, just to have somebody there to write up something that's interesting and try to compete with those sites just doesn't seem like the right way to go.
I think the blogs is a very good addition that you added also. That kind of takes away the need for more. I like hearing different voices from different people all the time. I think it's interesting, and it's a form of entertainment that you don't get on other websites. So there.
Yeah, and I thought like what Wombat did on the UGO blog was like a little bit different than what you would see, you know, on a Joystick or Kotaku or a site like that, where it's, you know, those sites are more straight up news, and Wombat would, you know, a lot of his posts were, you know, it was a little bit of news, but mostly his opinion. And that's sort of more interesting. But, you know, I don't think that stuff is going to really, you know, ever be the focus on CAG. Like, that's not, you're not going to be seeing that really on the front page. But yeah, as Wombat said, in the blog section, you know, hopefully we can grow that part of the site a little more. That I'd be interested in. Anyway, we'll move right into some CAG news-ish, because there's a lot of stuff, or news-ish, maybe, is a better way to say it. A lot of stuff to talk about. Did you guys see the CAG mention on the Wall Street Journal yesterday?
I happened to see that when you aimed me that, yes.
Yeah, you said check the front page, 6 o'clock in the morning, check the front page.
Right, Wombat hasn't even taken the crust out of his eyes yet, but I'm harassing him already.
What else is new?
Yeah, there was a nice little blurb about, a little article about game shopping and trading on the Wall Street Journal, and there was two paragraphs about and Cheap Ass Gamer. They didn't put that in the article.
You're a PIG pig.
I'm sorry. I'm sick, you know. I got a lot going on. And I went to McDonald's for breakfast this morning.
Well, that's going to kill the cold.
A lot of vitamins in that and that sausage McMuffin, right?
Yeah, vitamin S.
What's that?
I don't know, but that's what they have in McDonald's food.
Oh.
A little vitamin G, a little grease.
Anyway, so now, like, Kotaku just posted the article, and people are thinking that Crescente took a shot at CAG in the article because he mentioned, I don't know, the way he summarized the post on CAG, it sort of rubbed people the wrong way. And, you know, I just want to sort of say that I don't think that it should be taken badly at all. I think he summarized what Wall Street Journal had to say. If you look in the Kotaku.com talks thread about CAG, thread on CAG, that came from the Xbox Pure thing, people are already complaining about that. But no, it's nothing bad. Everyone just relax, okay? You relaxed?
A little bit.
Good. Also, the Circuit City versus Speedy legal case is officially concluded. And all this stuff is on the front page of CAG if you want to check out more. I got an email from my lawyer telling me that they dropped the lawsuit, which is not surprising considering they have dropped everything. They've dropped having a store. But that's sort of good news. And I posted all the documents on CAG too. So if you want to read the Circuit City's official complaint against Speedy, I thought it was sort of interesting. Did you guys take a look?
Yeah, I read through it. It was a pretty weak argument the whole time, but
yeah. It's still sort of scary though, like when you're implicated in some sort of legal action. I mean, I imagine Speedy must have been very scared. They never sued us; they only subpoenaed us, so that's not a big a deal. But I'm sure Speedy was pretty worried at the time. Also, one last thing, and then I want to talk about the CAG beta for a little bit. And it seems like I'm really tooting my own horn here, but I am, I guess. So that's probably why it seems like that. A guy on my Facebook page posted an article about Street Fighter IV selling out in Japan. And I thought it was pretty surprising because I bought Street Fighter IV on Friday. It was the day after it came out, and there was like a huge box of them in the store. And it turns out that this guy, Seth Killian, who's the community manager of Capcom, posted on the Capcom website that Street Fighter IV was sold out in Japan. So I did some very brief investigating, which basically means anytime I walked by a game store in my area, I just popped in to see if Street Fighter IV was sold out, and it wasn't sold out anywhere. Not only was it not sold out, I couldn't find a place that it was sold out anywhere, and I went to like 8 stores over like 2 days. So I made a blog post about it, and it wound up getting picked up in a few different places, including Kotaku again. And then Capcom revised their statement. They said, oh, no, we meant that it was sold out on the first day. On day one, it was sold out. But then all the stores restocked on the second day. I don't know, it was totally ridiculous. The whole, to make a statement like that, that say your game is sold out in a country, you can only be proven wrong.
Well, it's the same thing that Sony tried to say when, they were saying their systems were sold out.
Oh, right, that they would pay. Was it Jack Tretton that said he would pay like $1,500 to anybody that could find a PS3 on a store shelf?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Right, I think it was him. Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing to say like, oh, Street Fighter IV exceeded our sales expectations in Japan, and in many places it was sold out. I mean, that's a totally reasonable statement. But to say that the game is completely sold out in the country and you can't find a copy on a store shelf anywhere in Japan, I mean, it's ridiculous, and you're only going to be proven wrong. Obviously, this guy Seth is not a PR guy, because they would not make a rookie mistake like that. I'm just worried that he's going to come after me now, because after playing Street Fighter IV, I see that there's a guy named Seth in the game, and he's 8 feet tall and blue, and has a what is that? What do you call those things? A yin yang? Not a yin yang. What are those? What is that?
I'll give you a yin-yang.
No, what is that called? The
I have no idea what
you know, like the Chinese symbol, the circle with the... Maybe it is a yin-yang.
It's black on one side and white on the other with two dots on either side?
Yeah.
The thing that looks like a yin-yang?
Yeah, it's a yin-yang. That's what it's called. Okay. It was just a funny name. It sounded... I thought I was wrong. Anyway, the character in Street Fighter IV has that in his stomach. Hopefully he doesn't come after me. Anyway, we'll talk about Street Fighter IV later. A few words on the CAG beta. We've got a few new systems that are up since the last time we talked. The game database is partially up, and I want to thank a few people for uploading lots and lots of box art to our database. And those people are Shipwreck.
Woo!
Thank you, Shipwreck. We need to harness the power of Shipwreck's disturbed mind to improve the CAG database.
It's so sad. Like, I've probably spent maybe 8 hours total so far just uploading box art.
You're kidding.
No.
I got to get the numbers. I think we're tracking, like, how many things people each person has uploaded. So I'd be curious to see the numbers on everybody.
I'm sure there's people that have outdone me so far.
Well, there's only been a few other people who have really done it. Done a lot of it, and there's a guy Jobber Cho has done a lot, and Tai Hana has done a lot, and I've done a lot too, but I don't know how I compare to you guys. So that's been going well. We've got this new deals system that I think is going to be live by the time you hear this show, hopefully, and I showed you guys a screen capture of it, which is basically a deal catalog, a database-driven catalog that will hopefully work in conjunction with the forum that we have now. Let me read you this little blurb that Super Programmer John prepared for me to describe how it works. He says, personally, I'll be using it as a way of seeing the top deals every day. Since every CAG member can vote or raise to lower a deal score, you can easily see all the best bargains for that day or week. But for others, it'll be a way of browsing deals that they're interested in by only seeing games that are on their wish list, or by filtering certain platforms or deal types. If you're a Wii owner who's only interested in cheap games and crappy plastic accessories, you can filter everything else out and see a list of deals that only interest you. So yeah, I mean, I'm wondering how it's going to work within the grand scheme of things and alongside the forums, or if it one day will actually replace the video game deal forum. I don't know. I guess we'll find out, but it looks pretty cool, right? I mean, looks interesting.
It does look cool, and we'll see it. We'll see it in action when it works, and then we'll know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of really cool stuff that we just have to see how it works, and then we'll tweak it from there.
Right. Exactly. Also, the Cheapy Awards. Finally, Wombat, the Cheapy Awards are up and available to be voted on.
Yay, the 2006 Cheapy Awards.
My goal is to have everything, the winners announced by the end of February.
It's good to have goals. That's all I'm going to say.
I don't know how realistic it is. I think the way I set it up, with the polls are only going to be open for about a week. I think it's 8 days. So I think that leaves me 2 days to post all the winners. I don't know. That's pretty optimistic. But I think I can do it if I really apply myself.
I saw you didn't make the keg villain setup.
I didn't. Well, you know, I get to choose the final nominees, so I decided to not choose myself.
That's just, douchebag of the award of the year award winner 2008. Yes.
Well, I don't want to hog all the awards.
Oh, I see.
You know, yes. I can't be the villain and douchebag.
It's very gracious of you.
Thank you. There's only so much room on my desk for these awards.
You could send me my podcasting award. That'll free up some room for you.
Right. I will. When I see you next, I will bring you the podcast award, and you will take it.
Great.
I promise. I'll hit you over the head with it. This year we're giving away not one, but two $500 Amazon gift cards. And you can win them just by voting in the Cheapy Awards. And the more categories you vote in, the greater your odds of winning. That's how it works. You only need to vote. You don't need to post in the thread. Just use the voting system on CAG, and you'll be good to go. Did you guys vote yet?
I've started to. I'm about halfway through.
I'm not voting.
You know, speaking of things to give away, I have a sealed game upstairs that I could give away.
What's that?
I have a sealed copy of Banjo-Kazooie, Nuts and Bolts.
Nuts and Bolts?
And Bolts, yeah. Not the cheaper Banjo-Kazooie Nuts.
Right, that sucks.
That's a whole different game. But right. I have a copy of that sealed upstairs that I could give away to someone. What should they do to enter?
I don't know. Maybe just somebody who posts in the CAGcast discussion thread?
Yeah, that's fine. Post something in the CAGcast discussion thread, and it can't be something. It has to be more than a word, and it can't just be, this is my entry for the contest.
Right. It has to be a thoughtful, you know, a regular post. It doesn't have to be thoughtful, because that's not fair to say that all posts are thoughtful. So, a normal post.
And if your post is not deemed a regular post by us judges, you are not eligible for the prize.
Right, and Wombat will prank phone call you at 4 in the morning.
I will. I've done it before.
Yes. Last in CAG news-ish, I want to give a shout-out to the CAG, GooseX, and Pwned, that's another website, meetup that's happening in Washington, D.C. on February 21st. That's Sunday. This Sunday.
Sunday.
And that's at Dave & Buster's at the White Flint Mall. And what did I say? 3 o'clock. And usually lasts for about 3 hours, 3 to 4 hours, it looks like. So bring your games if you want to, you know, trade some games with fellow CAGs. I'm sure the GooseX guys I think the GooseX guys might have some little goodies to give away. They usually do in the past. Should be a good time. All right, on to some game shopping news. I don't know. You know what? I don't even want to do the game shopping news. Let's go right to new releases. There's not much in the way of... And the deals this week, I mean, Target's got Wario Land Shake It for $30. I think that's probably the only deal worth mentioning. Toys R Us, if you buy Street Fighter 4 there, they're throwing in a figure, and you can also get $25 off some select games like Call of Duty World at War, Far Cry 2, Afro Samurai, 007 Quantum of Solace, and Shaun White Snowboarding. I think that's it, really, for the deals this week.
Did you want to comment on that on Blockbuster at all?
You should comment on that. My voice is going quickly.
Okay, well, if people haven't heard about it already, Blockbuster is adding games to their Total Access, which is their competition with Netflix, where you get games in the mail or movies in the mail, and then you can take them back to the store or send them back in the mail, either way.
Oh, yeah. I did that when I was in New York. I used that service.
Yeah, I used to have Blockbuster Total Access. I don't think this is going to work. Like, I just see Blockbuster just getting further and further behind everybody. But apparently you have to pay an extra $5 if you take a game out during the month. And you only get, how I understand it, you only get one game, and then you have to wait for the next month to get another game. Or you can, like, take it back to the store, but you can't get another game that month, I guess. I don't know.
Sounds like they've made it too confusing for this to succeed. I mean, you need this shit to be simple.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
Yeah, it sounds kind of dumb.
Well, Blockbuster's made a lot of bad decisions in their corporate history. I mean, you know, they had a chance to buy Netflix when Netflix was just starting out.
Right.
And they passed on it, which was, you know, great move. Awesome move.
But they do serve, like, the large size box of Goobers and Sour Patch Kids.
That's, well, they got that going for them. But soon they'll have no stores left to actually sell those candies.
No, you get them in the mail. Too bad. I like Goobers. Goobers are good.
All right, let's move on to the new releases. Maybe Shipwreck, you can lead the discussion here.
What does he know about new releases?
He's Mr. New Release.
Who knew?
We're actually going to, speaking of that, we're actually going to record a show this week for CAG 4Play. It's just going to be a little bit later in the week.
Right. It'll be up in time for the Cheapy Awards.
Right, exactly. I've been working a lot of hours at work is pretty much the main reason that hasn't been very frequent here lately.
War doesn't build itself.
Right.
All right.
Multi-platform, we got, of course, Street Fighter 4. I think Chibi's going to talk about that in a little while here.
I could talk about it now, and then you can move on to the rest of the new releases.
Go for it.
All right, so I picked up Street Fighter 4 for the 360. I bought it on Friday. I got the Japanese version, which is region-free, which is very unusual for a Japanese-published Xbox 360 game. I think there's only two that I know of out of the entire catalog, and that's one of them. It's also got full English support, which is nice.
Yeah, you can get the story then that way.
Well, I mean, you can read the menus.
Did you learn something about Ryu that you didn't know before?
Yeah, I learned his name was Ryu.
Ryu, Ryu, whatever, eat me.
Yeah. No, I mean, okay, here's the thing. I'm a longtime Street Fighter fan. I grew up playing Street Fighter, and, you know, in high school, the original Street Fighter 2. So I'm, you know, I didn't really play much of the other versions of it. I think after Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition, I had already sort of moved on to Mortal Kombat. But, you know, for a while there, I was really into Street Fighter. So, and I recently got into the Xbox Live version of, the Xbox Live Arcade version of HD Remix, and I really liked that too. So I picked this up because, you know, I'm back into Street Fighter, and I do really like the game. I do really like Street Fighter 4. I like, you know, like the gameplay, the actual fighting stuff is great. The artwork is great. I like the new, you know, ultra combo and, you know, super combo stuff. The ultra combo basically is like a meter that fills up as people are kicking your ass, and you get to a certain point where, you know, the meter gets full to a certain point, and you can unleash a ultra combo, which, you know, looks really cool and does a really a great deal of damage to your opponent. And they're pretty easy to pull off, actually. It's not like all, you know, super complicated. So I like all that stuff. I mean, my only complaints about the game really stem down to the music, which I think is awful. I mean, I can't imagine anybody liking the music to this game. I wish they just took, you know, what they did with HD Remix is they had OC Remix, which is a video game music remix site, redo the original Street Fighter II soundtrack. And I wish they just did that. Instead, they have almost all new songs, and it's like bad Japanese pop music for some of it, and it's just, I don't know. It's probably the weakest part of the game. My other complaint, and this is a fairly, you know, decent complaint and legitimate complaint, I think, is that the online modes of the game are a step down from HD Remix. And for a $60 release, you know, full release game to have removed features from a $15 downloadable title is really disappointing. And the things that are missing from it are, you know, which is probably one of the best parts about the online play of HD Remix, is the, you know, the quarter mode, the lobby system. So you could, in HD Remix, you could get into a chat room. I mean, not chat room, a lobby, and play with your friends, and your friends can, if, you know, it's a one-on-one match, but your friends can watch you play, and they can, everybody can chat with each other while they're playing and watch each other. And this game only has one-on-one battles. That's a real downer to me.
Yeah, that's pretty lame. That
is lame.
The $60 price point on this is just, I don't know. It seems like something I should really want, but that price point.
You a big Street Fighter guy? I mean, you into Street Fighter?
I'm a decent Street Fighter guy, yeah. I'm sure I
would
enjoy it.
It's fun, but it's just that's frustrating. They did not put a lot of effort into the online mode. I mean, it seems fine. I haven't encountered a lot of lag, but when you're not as good as the downloadable version of your game, that's, you know, a fraction of the cost. That's a significant problem. I think that's a legitimate complaint with the game.
So the $15 version is the better version, you would say, your humble opinion.
Of if you're looking strictly for online play, then absolutely. But obviously the graphics and gameplay are more advanced in Street Fighter IV, and there's more characters as well. There's new characters. One of the cool online features at which was a good addition, but it wasn't quite implemented properly, is that you can challenge, like if I'm playing the arcade mode, you know, the single player arcade mode, I can make a setting so that people can come and challenge me online. Just like if I was at an arcade playing by myself and somebody came in and threw a quarter in the machine to play me. Which is cool, but there's no way to set it so that it's just your friends interrupting you. It's either everybody or nobody. It's either on or off.
Oh, that's not cool. Yeah.
Right. So,
I thought they had a setting there for friends. I thought I'd read that somewhere, but that sucks then. That's just as annoying as playing in the arcade and somebody walks up and you're just trying to play the computer and they stick a quarter in.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I mean, you can turn it off. You can turn it off.
You're a noob. And then you have someone who comes in. Oh, let me show you how to use T-Wolf.
Yeah, it's I'm pretty sure there's no friend option. I think it's just either on or off. I'm almost positive. So you know, there's an idea that was good but not implemented properly. Also, the statistics tracking, you know, for a game like Street Fighter, you know, you're gonna play it online and you know it's all about, you know, your record. It groups all your online statistics together, so whether you're playing a ranked match or a player match, it's all one bunch of statistics. So if I want to practice playing one of the new guys in a player modes, in player matches, you know, so it doesn't affect my record, there's no way to do that. The only difference is they have this thing called battle points, which is basically like a ranking system, and you have like a score. And if you play somebody has more battle points than you, then you'll win more points if you beat them, and you'll lose less if you lose to them. So if you play a player match, you don't lose any or gain any battle points, but your record is still affected. Your overall record is still affected by your player matches, which I thought was weird. But if you're a fan of Street Fighter IV, you're obviously going to like the game. You're obviously going to buy the game. I'm sort of nitpicking here on stuff that I didn't really see brought up a lot in reviews that I've read, which I thought was sort of surprising, because I would think that the online part of the game is one of the most important, if not the most important.
You got it? You done? It's out of your system now?
I'm out of my system. It's out of my system now. Did I mention it wasn't sold out in Japan?
I heard that. I read that on Kotaku.
Right. Also, the quick match doesn't work. When you select quick match, you know, they didn't. The Japanese developers didn't understand. You know how every Xbox game, and I don't know about PlayStation, but every Xbox game has quick match, create match, and custom match. And when you click quick match, it's supposed to just put you right into a game. They didn't realize that's what's supposed to happen. So it basically just brings up what happens if you push in custom match. You know, it's basically the same thing, except you don't get to choose any criteria. Really weird. Also, one last complaint, and then I'm done. I got to get this all off my chest because I think it's important people know this stuff because it's not mentioned in reviews. After every online match, you have to wait 10 to 30 seconds for the game to save, which is really weird. I don't know why that's in there. And it's sort of annoying when you want to just go and go and go.
Yeah, that would get really frustrating after just getting your butt handed to you in like 30 seconds and then you just have to sit there and wait.
Yeah, I don't know why that. These are little things that add up to make you say, I wonder why this is a step down than the $15 version in certain departments. But overall, I gotta recommend the game if you're into Street Fighter. I mean, you'll obviously enjoy it. I mean, the fighting stuff, which is the most important stuff, is a lot of fun, and the artwork is really good too. Okay, on to more new releases. Shipwreck. I'm sorry, I just.
Oh, there are more?
I don't know. Are there?
There's a few more. Wii, not much of anything. The DS has a couple of remakes of classic RPG and strategy games. There's Dragon Quest V and Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon. Mm-hmm. And for the PSP, there's Prinny, Can I Really Be the Hero?
No, you cannot.
Yeah. Are you guys familiar with that? What that is?
That's the penguin from Disgaea, right?
Hey, there you go. Good job.
Yeah.
Wow, I had no idea.
I'm surprised how many people have no idea what that is, actually.
I am too. But it's apparently a very good platformer that people are comparing to Ultimate Ghosts and Goblins.
Really?
Oh, so it's like butthole hard? Is that?
It's a little bit easier, but it's still challenging. Like, you start off the game and you have 1,000 of these little Prinny penguins, and then that's how many guys you have to beat the game with. So if they're going to give you 1,000 guys to start with, it's going to be a pretty difficult game, I would think.
1,000? Mm. Wow.
Yep. So that one looks good, though. It is $40, which it kind of sucks. But
it's a PSP game?
Yeah, PSP game. Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Mrs. Shipwreck previewed that one, so she'll have more in-depth on that on our show, I'm sure. And then for the 360, there is Race Pro, which I played briefly at E3. It's a
racing game?
Yes, simulation racing game done by Simbin, which is the developer of the GTR series, which is a very popular like PC racing game. It seemed okay from what I played at E3. It is coming out as $40, so it's not a full price game. So,
Shipwreck at the Atari booth at E3 was maybe one of the funniest things ever. I would just walk by him. You know, he looked like, you know, every once in a while I could, like, make eye contact with him, and it was like, get me out of here. Help. Help. They won't let me leave. They're showing me tennis.
Yes. Tennis and deer hunting.
On
the PC.
Right. You're like, wow, this is my kind of game right here. Deer hunting on the PC. Where have you been all my life?
Wait, so you hunt the deer with your PC?
No.
That's a game.
All right. Anything else for new releases?
There's the on the DL stuff. Nobi Nobi Boy for the PS3 comes out this week.
Oh shit! Really?
Which looks yeah, that game looks messed up.
Yeah,
and it's $5, right?
Yep, $5.
Very cool. I'm looking forward to that. That's on my wish list on KAG, actually.
Oh,
yeah. I think for $5, I mean that's the old $5 you'll pick up anything rule there. Yeah. So.
The guy who did Katamari, right?
Yeah, from the Katamari guy. This one doesn't look to be... It falls more into that PlayStation 3 kind of experiment type of games that have been coming out for PlayStation Network. Not really...
We'll talk about Flower later.
Yeah, so I would throw it in that same kind of...
Okay, cool. That's good news.
And then for Xbox Live Arcade, there's Death Tank and Exit 2.
Death Tank is $15.
Yeah, I pretty much stopped researching Death Tank once I saw the price.
It's got a good name, though.
Yeah, but it's a game that you can play basically. You've been able to play on the PC for free since the dawn of time, since the internet was invented. I think you've been able to play this game for free.
Oh.
This is
so why they would charge $15 for a version of it? I don't know.
Didn't somebody just make like $500,000 on the iPhone version of this type of game?
Oh, it's that type of game?
Yeah, it's the type of game. It's kind of like Worms, but in real time, where you're kind of trying to put the coordinates in of the person you're trying to shoot, I guess.
Official Xbox Magazine says, at $15, Death Tank is ludicrously overpriced.
And that's from the official Xbox Magazine.
Right. If they say it's ludicrous, then, man.
It's crazy. Craziness.
This is done by Snowblind?
Yes.
Huh.
Which is probably why it's $15.
Right. They need to pay those bills. All right. Anything else?
I think that pretty much wraps it up for anything worthwhile.
What about the Lost and the Damned? Damned.
Yes. That is coming out as well.
That is out today.
You guys picking that up?
I don't know if I'm going to pick. I haven't even finished the story in the main game, so I don't know if I'm going to pick
neither.
It up.
Me neither. Definitely not getting it.
Yep, no.
Did you see the video online of the dangle?
You can see the guy's wiener. Is that really? I didn't watch the video. I just
I watched the video. I watched the video. It's full on sausage.
Really?
Yeah.
How's the length and girth?
It's quite impressive.
Oh, really?
Nothing unusual, but you know, nothing to be ashamed of either.
Right. Right. Interesting.
You know, he doesn't have any bruises on his knees, but you know.
Right. All right, Wombat, should we talk about your Comic-Con experience? I know it may seem like old news to some people, but it's new news for me.
Yes, it's new news for you, and I'll try not to bore people who already know too much, but I'll go through it relatively quickly. It was a pretty long day at Comic-Con for me because I had a lot of appointments and I met a lot of people, and I started off at Sega where I did an interview, and are you going to clip it on to the end?
Sure. What was that again?
That was for the Conduit, which is the first-person shooter on the Wii.
Okay, what I'll do is at the very end of the show, after the outro, I will put Wombat's interview.
Exactly. That game isn't bad. I played a little bit of it. It plays like a first-person shooter on the Wii. And here's my problem with first-person shooters on the Wii. Because it's not like an analog stick that flips back into place when you're not aiming. Say someone diverts your attention and you're not paying attention, and then you look back at the screen, your guy all of a sudden starts spinning around in a crazy circle.
Because you're a lot of work, right? Like, physically, it's a lot of work to play that game.
Because if you tilt it a little bit to the side and you're not paying attention, the guy just keeps moving around and spins, and then you lose where you're going. And, I mean, the other problem with the first-person shooter on the Wii is just graphically, it doesn't compare to, you know, Killzone 2.
Or anything.
It's like, how could you go, if you have other consoles, I can't imagine how someone would be able to go from a game like a Killzone 2 or even a Halo 3 and then go back and play something like The Conduit and not have to squint while playing it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, for the two most important things, I think, about a first-person shooter are, one, the control, you know, the precision, and two, the graphics.
And some people, like, I was there with a couple of friends of mine, and they had no problem with the controls. So I think the control issue is really more of a preference thing. And there are some people that I think will get into it and like the controls. But graphically, it looks kind of muddy.
All right.
I also saw Mad World. And here's the deal with Mad World.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with the game. I did an interview with some of the producers from the game, and I told you that I couldn't use that interview, and now I can tell you why.
Yes, I don't know anything about this. Wombat actually recorded some stuff with these guys, and he said, oh yeah, I have this interview, but you can't use it.
See, basically, here's the deal. They brought with them, because they're, you know, Japanese guys who made this game, they brought with them their translator.
Right.
And the translator they brought was a woman.
Okay.
And you can't use a female's voice translating a male Japanese voice. That was the problem. They refused to let you air a woman's voice because they don't want people to get confused and think that a woman actually worked on that game.
Wait a minute. Why would they bring the woman translator in the first
place? That's what I tried to figure out. I'm like, if you really don't want it, then get a male translator. And that's why if you listen to, because there are interviews, I think there's one on Game Trailers, there's an interview with these guys, and you could hear the male dub voice, you know, and they got a dude to come in and re-record and the woman translator lines.
Yeah, well, Japan's a very male-centric society, I mean.
And I refuse to support their sexist behavior, so I'm going to out them on the show, and we're not going to play their interview. Until they learn about equal rights. Equal rights now, I say.
Right. How is the game?
It's all right.
What do you mean?
It looks great. I just don't know, you know, I played Manhunt 2 on the Wii also, and I got kind of bored of it fast. I mean, yeah, great, ooh, look, big gory violence, but I don't know how long you could sustain that activity. Like, it seems like it's a lot of fun for, like, 15 minutes.
Right.
But I don't know, once you get past that initial,
I think that's what Shipwreck said when we walked out of the demo at E3.
Yeah, I'd pretty much seen everything I needed to see about it. I mean, it looks okay, but I don't know, like, they really have to mix up those levels somehow, and I don't know how they're going to do it. How about the little voice quips? Were they repeating a lot?
Oh, I don't even remember.
Okay.
Honestly, I couldn't hear a damn thing at the show. I have no idea. Oh, I met one of the voiceover actors from The Conduit was there.
Yeah.
And he's an actor, and he was on like 4 episodes of Battlestar Galactica, and he was on Burn Notice actually last week, but that was after Comic-Con. And he's also been on like Firefly and a bunch of other shows, but he was never the star of anything. He was always in like 2 episodes of Firefly, 4 episodes of Battlestar. And I didn't know who he was, and my friends didn't know who he was, and he got pissed at us that we didn't know who he was.
They always do that on Howard Stern. They'll like go up to interview somebody like on a red carpet, and like the first question is, why are you famous?
Basically, it was like that. He was playing the game, and he was talking about the game, and I'm asking him questions, and he goes, you know, he's like, yeah, well, I'm one of the voice actors. Oh, that's great. It looks like a fun game. He goes, and I asked him, I go, well, what other games have you been in? And he's like, what, you don't know who I am?
Oh, my God. Say, what, you don't know who I am? I'm fucking Wombat.
I had no idea. It was hysterical. It was pretty funny. It was also 10 o'clock in the morning, right. So I was barely awake. For those who don't know, for me to get from my house to the Javits Center means I had to be up at like 6 o'clock in the morning to be at a 10 o'clock interview. So I was pretty exhausted, even by 10.
So you're saying you didn't know how to respond.
I just didn't know how to respond. I wish I had a better answer for him, but I didn't.
Say, man, you don't know who I am? I'm Wombat. I banged my wife on the kitchen table. Pull my groin, bitch.
Counter.
Counter, sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, from there I went to DC Universe Online.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is a game, if anybody's going to like this game, Wombat, it would be you. If you don't like this game, then there's no hope for it.
There's a lot of pluses to DC Universe Online.
All right.
It looks like it could be a lot of fun. I don't know how deep the character creator is, but it looks like you could do a lot with the different characters that they're showing, which is great. The Metropolis area that you're in it starts in Metropolis, appears to be rather large. What's even better is that the game is very vertical, which I did not realize. I thought it was basically running around the streets, maybe jumping up relatively high. But if you have a character that can fly, you could fly to the top of the tallest building in Metropolis and look down. Actually, what you can do is you could fly to the top of the tallest building in Metropolis, rip off an air conditioner vent from the top of a building, fly down and chuck it at some dude if you feel so inclined. Which is pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of very good ideas going on. It's very well designed to run on the consoles as well as, you know, keeping it familiar to PC where you can hotkey stuff, but you can also hotkey stuff to the gamepad. It's a smart way to set it up. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of things the game does right. It doesn't look particularly pretty. Like Metropolis doesn't have much detail as a city. Supposedly,
doesn't compare to like an other open world type game graphically.
I would say not even compared to it's compared to another open world type game. Like it doesn't compare to Grand Theft Auto. The world does not look like Liberty City. Yeah.
What about Saints Row 2?
It doesn't even look like Saints Row 2.
It looks slightly above what World of Warcraft looks, but in a modern environment. Setting.
Okay.
The real issue with this game is going to be, if they charge a monthly fee for this, I wouldn't pick it up.
Right.
I don't see myself playing this game for more, especially with a monthly fee. It doesn't seem like the kind of game I'm going to invest prolonged time in. And to be perfectly honest, comparing it to Marvel Ultimate Alliance, which I just saw the new trailer for, I don't know if it's going to compare, especially, you know, without a monthly fee, an MMO where they keep adding, you know, if they keep adding on stuff to it, based in the DC Universe, could have some legs and might be a good investment to go along with Marvel Ultimate Alliance, but with a monthly fee, it's going to be Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Right, but there's some value in the fact that you can create your own character, right? I mean, that's like the main selling point, right?
Yes and no. I mean, I guess aesthetically, looks wise, yes. But why you'd want it, like, knowing that you could fly as high as you want in the game, why would you make a character that can't fly?
Right, that's the first thing I thought of when you said you could, you know, fly to the top of a building.
Yeah, well, why would you make
running characters can run to the top of the building, right? Like on the side of it.
But why make a Batman?
Right.
Okay.
Right. Unless he gets a cool car because he's Batman.
Exactly, and even that's like no one knows that for sure. Supposedly the game's going to launch. Well, I don't know if it's gonna, this is confirmed or not, but I think the game is supposed to launch with Metropolis and Gotham City. Now, a way I think they could make the game work is not charge a monthly fee, but if they add on more environments, just charge a fee for those, like, you know, add Star City and Coast City and all that, all the other towns that exist in the DC world, and do it that way, more of a piecemeal, than if they feel the need to charge some sort of back end. It's a good game. I just don't see how it'll work as a monthly fee-based game. But I did like it, which it surprised me also. I didn't think I'd like it either.
All right, what else did you see?
I saw both New Overlords, the Wii Overlord prequel, which looks like a good Wii game if you're looking for a good Wii adventure game, and Overlord 2 for the 360, and I think the PS3, but I'm not sure. And that looks great. If you liked the first Overlord, you'll probably be very happy with Overlord 2. I saw Damnation, and this was pretty funny, because I'm sitting there with my friends, and it was me, and it was one of my friends from college, and another one of my friends from high school. So, you know, you hang out with these guys, and all of a sudden, you turn into, like, a teenager again. And they start off Damnation. I don't know. Do you know anything about this game?
This is the Western-type game, right?
That's what I thought, too. Because the guy's wearing a duster, and he wears a cowboy hat, and he has a gun. And I kept saying, oh, wow, this is a pretty cool Western game. And the guy goes, it's not a Western game, it's a steampunk game. I'm like, but I'm in a cave, and I'm fighting guys that look like Indians, and I'm wearing a cowboy hat. No, it's not a Western game. Are you sure?
Wow. And my friends like, I thought this was a Western game all along. They've done a horrible job at advertising this thing.
And I'm playing the game, and my friends who were with me and overhearing kept saying, wow, this is a pretty good Western game, just to piss the guy off the whole time. And it was pretty damn funny.
I'm looking up steampunk right now to find out what that means.
Oh, it means that the weapons are all like steam-based guns as opposed to electricity. It's like alternate reality where in the turn of the century, instead of things running on electricity, they ran on steam and they had... like cars that ran on steam.
Think Wild Wild West, Cheapy.
Wild West.
Yeah. Exactly.
Roll to the Wild Wild West.
Think Penny Arcade Adventures.
Okay, yes. Got it.
And they're trying to sell this as a steampunk game, even though everyone's wearing a cowboy hat. And it amused me very much. It doesn't seem like a bad game. It was just funny how they were trying to pitch it.
What about Ghostbusters? Yes. I'm interested in hearing what you have to say about Ghostbusters.
I didn't get to play. I only got to watch.
Okay, well, that's good enough.
Yeah, and I mean, the PS3 and 360 versions of the game look great. The Wii version just looks a little too cartoony to compare, but it still looks like a fun, like it could be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I have high hopes for Ghostbusters.
Oh, that's
How's that?
Good. That's good.
Yes. Do you know anything about Battlefront 1943?
It takes place a year after Battlefront 1942.
Yeah, thanks. That's Is it Battlefront or Battlefield?
The downloadable one, right?
Yeah, that's the one that's going to be on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Which one? 1943?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know anything about it.
It runs on the Bad Company engine, so all the buildings are destructible, and it has a good amount of vehicles. It has a tank and a jeep, I think two different kinds of jeeps, and planes, and it's three character classes and three maps. And that game, I mean, they didn't say a price. They asked me, he goes, well, how much do you think it's going to would cost? And I said, flat out, I said, for $10, I would definitely buy this.
$10.
I said, and then he goes, for $15, I'd have to think about it. And he goes, well, you might have to buy it. So, maybe it'll be
$10. No, but he was holding a gun at your head, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You would buy this.
You know what? Even for $15, it actually seems like, I mean, if it has a community that plays it because it's going to be an online-only game, it definitely lends itself to comparisons to Warhawk in a way because of the vehicles and the different character classes. But it looks like it could be a really good game and a nice little surprise, you know, a good little multiplayer live arcade game that could.
Does it look as good as Bad Company?
It doesn't look as good, but it looks really good.
Okay.
It looks better than The Conduit.
Right. Okay. Okay. That's good. Good. Good to know.
Yep. I also have to give a shout out to the guys at Cartoon Network and their game Fusion Fall. Okay. That's the Cartoon Network MMO, which is actually really cool. And I have to give a shout out to Matthew Schwartz, who's a big fan of the show and listens, has never missed an episode.
Fellow
Jew. And is the guy in charge of Fusion Fall.
All right.
And he gave me a nice little bag of crap to take home with me, like some really cool stuff. Some t-shirts and some notepads and, you know, just fun stuff for myself and the baby. He gave me a t-shirt for the baby, too. So he gets a big shout out. And that game, actually, if you've never played it and you're looking for a browser-based MMO that, for the most part, is free to play, well, I recommend checking it out, because even if you're not a fan of the Cartoon Network, you might get into it.
All right.
And speaking of MMOs, my buddy who came in, he drove in from Pennsylvania for the Comic-Con, stayed at my house the night before. First thing he does when he gets to my house is he opens up his gigantic laptop, and he goes online, and he goes to play this game that I had never heard of before called Saga.
Uh-huh.
Do you know anything about this, Shipwreck?
No, this doesn't ring any bells.
No, it's
Shipwreck knows everything. If Shipwreck doesn't know it, then that's noteworthy.
These PC MMO games, there's just so many of them.
It's an MMORTS, and you build armies and stuff, and it looks really cool, and my friend actually wanted to go to the show to meet the guys who make this game, and it's made by a bunch of ex-THQ guys. And it's also a game, I think it's... The initial game is like $20, and there's no monthly fee. And, again, really nice guys, and my friend loves the game, and it's the only game I've ever seen him play. So I'll
Here's the most important one.
That alone gets a recommendation. So check out Saga.
I got the most important question. When you were doing your rounds at New York Comic Con, I would imagine at some point you would tell people that you are from Cheap Ass Gamer.
Did anybody
actually know what Cheap Ass Gamer is?
When I went to the EA booth, they knew who I was and stopped me to drag me to play Battlefront 1943.
Really?
Yes. How's that for an answer?
They said you're Wombat from CADcast.
I'm walking past because my friend was at the Midtown Comics booth and he was perusing through graphic novels, and I cut through the EA booth to get to him. On my way through the EA booth, as I'm halfway through, "Hey Wombat, have you played our games yet?"
Wow.
That's what happened.
That's never happened to me, ever.
So, suck it. Yeah.
Yeah, all right, well, good. Exactly. That's good.
Yeah.
All right, should we move on to Microsoft?
Let's move on.
Okay, well, thank you for that Comic-Con wrap summary.
Yes.
I'd say out of all the games you mentioned, I'm probably interested in Ghostbusters the most.
And I think I could see you picking up 1943.
Yeah, maybe that, too, I was thinking, because, you know, there's something to be said about a game, because I'm lazy, something to be said about a game that you don't have to put the disc in.
I agree, and I think that if we all have it and we know a bunch of other people that have it and we see that everyone's online, and even if they're not playing the game, all they have to do is switch over to the arcade to play it,
right.
I can see you being able to quick start a lot of multiplayer games, and I think it's a smart move for EA. And the destructible environments are pretty cool, too, so...
They're pretty aggressive, I guess. I mean, this sounds like a game that could maybe be like a retail release. It seems like EA is sort of being very aggressive.
I don't know if it would be
a
retail release, because like I said, it only has 3 character classes and 3 maps. So, but then again, if it's successful, we'll see more maps and more classes.
All right, let's go on to Microsoft. Let's talk a little bit about the Halo Wars demo and how it set a new record for downloads on Xbox Live. First of all, did you guys play the Halo Wars demo?
I downloaded it. I haven't played it yet.
I played it.
What'd you think?
I liked it. There's certain things about it that I liked. I thought it was very interesting how they kind of made some console concessions. Like you don't really have to harvest your whatever it is you need.
Resources.
Your supplies. Thank you.
Right.
Like, there's a word I'm looking for. Yes.
You just need to build the thing that will suck the supplies out from the air.
Basically. Yeah, which I thought was kind of an interesting way to do it. So it's it's like almost, but then what's the whole point of making this game an RTS if you don't have to gather resources?
Well, you do have to gather. I mean, you just have to build a spaceport or something, and then the resources come to you.
Yeah, you have to build a spaceport. And then once you do that, that's it. You're done collecting resources.
Well, that sounds great. You upgrade the spaceport or you build other spaceports.
Yeah, but you upgrade it with the resources that you're not collecting.
Right. Well, yeah. Well, you are collecting them. You're just not sending a character to go pick them and bring them back to you.
There are more advanced RTS resource gathering.
Oh, of course.
And
no question.
Kingdom for Keflings has more advanced resource gathering.
Okay. I mean, I played through the demo. I finished the demo. I played through the tutorials and everything too. I thought it was pretty good for an RTS. It didn't rock my world. It didn't make me want to go out and buy the game, and I'm guessing you had a similar reaction, right?
Well, you know, I think the game in its final form will definitely reek of guys who found out they were fired before the game was finished.
You think so?
I just have a feeling. I think you could definitely feel it in Force Unleashed. I think that game kind of sputters in places, and it's because the people who are making it were fired before it was finished. And Halo Wars will suffer the same effect of, I just can't understand. Why would you do that? Even if you plan on firing these people.
How much money are you going to save? You just wait till the game's done.
Wait, they should not even tell it's done. Wait for it to be shipped.
Right.
At least wait for it to be shipped, and if the game tanks, at least then you can not look like a dick. But yep. The way that Microsoft handled the closing of Ensemble Studios, I refuse to buy this game on principle alone.
Well, you weren't going to buy it anyway.
Maybe I was.
All right. Well, 2 million people downloaded the game in 5 days, which is a new record. I'm curious to see how successful the game is. Has there ever really been a successful RTS on a console? In terms of you know, retail success?
I don't really think so.
No, I wouldn't think so. This is going to sell big.
You do? You think so?
Yeah. There's standees in front of all the GameStops and the malls and everything for it, and I just hear people, like, even when I'm in the mall, like, people walk by and go, oh, a new Halo game. So it's going to sell well just based on the name alone. Whether or not people actually, like, dig it. I think they will, though, because I think the Halo universe is enough people on its own to make people like it.
Ron Workman likes it.
Okay. Hotshot predicted NPD numbers for February. Or for March, I mean. Where does it rank?
Sixth?
I'm going to go with eighth.
I don't care.
I know you don't care, but you get to be the judge when it comes out.
Yay, judge!
Put it on the board.
I was going to look it up on SimExchange to see what they predict.
You could do that too, I guess.
Right. They don't have it up yet because they're slacking over there. I don't know what's going on at SimExchange. Anyway, did you play the Hawks demo?
Like Shipwreck, I downloaded it, but I haven't played it. They had it at Comic-Con, so I got to see it.
Yeah, I played the demo. It seems very good for a flight simulator fighting game.
Yeah, it's good.
Jet game. I thought it was pretty cool.
I'm sure it is.
I played some co-op with Jon Snow. We blew up some people. It was fun. It worked well online. What else we got? Free week of Xbox Live if you play Grand Theft Auto 4 for everybody till February 22nd. All right, this is going to sound weird, okay? You guys need to continue because I need to get another drink of water because my throat is drying up. So keep going with these Microsoft stories, and I'll be back in a minute.
Excellent. So are we talking about more Mass Effect download content loading in an elevator near you as per the snippet on the outline?
I think we are. Do you know anything about that at all?
I know absolutely nothing about it because I figured you did.
No, we'll just banter on about how we know nothing about it until Cheapy comes back. And...
Well, apparently there is more Mass Effect content coming, isn't a surprise.
I know they got this from like a video that's in that Platinum Hits 2-disc version. There's apparently a snippet on there that mentions that there's more download content coming. Sure. I know I saw today, too, that you could your Mass Effect 1 characters are going to be able to be imported into Mass Effect 2.
Cool, so the butch lesbian that I played the first game with will be able to make wild, passionate love to aliens of hopefully other colors than blue.
Yeah. That is cool. I read that, and I was like, ooh, that's good. I don't have to, because I worked pretty hard on making my guy look like me. So I'm glad I don't have
How
to do that.
How hard is that? Big eyebrows, that no hair. Done.
Big nose. Big, dewy nose. Power eyebrows. No hair.
Power eyebrows? Is that what you call them?
Sure.
Power triangle.
What was that?
That was a Wii game that came out this week with compelling power triangles.
Shipwreck sent me the press release, a quote from the press release. You got to find that.
Yeah, Battle Rage. There's compelling mechanics such as Rage, Rush, and Power Triangle.
Everybody knows what that means.
I try to stay away from Power Triangle.
Right. Yeah, it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. That's how you get a groin pull.
So what else we got on Xbox? Oh, the red Xbox 360. I guess the Resident Evil bundle was spotted in the Toys R Us product database. What do you think of the red Xbox 360?
I think it's a 360, but it's red.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of I don't know. Red is not a good color for a game console. I don't think. It's good for like a handheld, maybe. But
no, not even for a handheld. I mean,
no, it's not even good for that.
The Virtual Boy was red.
It's good if you bleed a lot on your stuff. If you're prone to accidents, that would be good. Otherwise, not so good.
Not so much. What's next?
All right, so what's this about Left 4 Dead? There's going to be a free add-on here?
It's going to add another multiplayer mode, which I think is supposed to be something similar to like a horde mode or a survival mode. And the other two maps that aren't available on multiplayer will be available as multiplayer.
Oh, okay. All right, that's cool. I haven't played very much of that lately, but...
I love that game. I played a little more of it over the weekend. It was one of my I-need-to-test-my-headphones games.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is a good one. That's good. Pac-Man Collector's Edition is good.
Oh, and I haven't tried that.
And the next game, this will segue us into Sony, because I've been playing this on the PS3. And you could hook the headphones up to the PS3, which is great. But the game that I've really been testing the headphones on is Dead Space.
Oh, Dead Space. I thought you were going to say something else.
No, I've been playing the crap out of Dead Space over the weekend.
And you liking it?
I love that game. I would be playing it right now if we weren't doing a show.
It's like Resident Evil, except with better combat.
It's not like Resident Evil, though. It isn't. It's not like Resident Evil at all. You just
want to say. What do you mean? You're killing infected things, and it's a third-person
It has a very simple idea, which is also, I would say, is probably one of the more ingenious ideas I've seen in a long time, where it takes the standard convention of combat in a video game, where your first impulse reaction of anyone who's played too many games when you see a bad guy coming at you is to shoot it in the face as fast as you can. But right. if you shoot everything in the face as fast as you can, you'll just wind up dead. And the game, what you need to do is aim towards areas that you would not normally aim for, and I think that's a great idea and a really cool convention, and it works really well, especially when you figure out like that pistol is just one of the best weapons in a game I've ever used. Especially with when you hit on the PS3, it's the R2 button where you flip it so it's either vertical or horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's going in the right direction, when you shoot a limb, it'll take the limb right off with one shot.
Yeah, I need to go back to play that game.
I mean, it's got some great little things going on in it, and it is really cool. Yes, some great set pieces, some great weapons. Just the whole layout of the game is really cool, and it's also ambiance. A good game. It's not a game that... The game works as a game that you could sit and play for hours, and it also works really well as a game that you could sit and play for 20 minutes.
Yep. I usually, opt for the 20 minutes.
I understand that. That's why I'm saying that. And we have listeners that like to do both. It is, in many ways, almost a perfect game. I don't know if it's perfect yet because I haven't finished it.
Very cool.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about two of the big PS3 releases. One that's out now, one that's coming soon. First one I want to talk about is Flower, which came out on the PlayStation Network last week for $10. It's the game from that game company, also made Flow. Now, I know Wombat got it. Shipwreck, did you get it?
No, not really my thing.
Not your thing. Yeah, we talked about it, and I think I told you I wasn't going to get it, but I lied. I did get it.
I have it too.
And I have to say that I really, really enjoyed my, unfortunately, very short time with Flower. I finished the game, but it's a very short game. And in fact, I think calling it a game is sort of not that accurate. It's, you know, you play it on a game machine, but it's not very gamey. You know, we talk about games that feel very gamey. This is the opposite of that. This feels like, and I'm not saying that this is like fine art or anything like that. I'm not going to get carried away here. But it does feel like something, like if I was in a, you know, a modern art museum, this, like, this could be an installation at a modern art museum, and it would be something that you would, you know, play experience at a museum. But I really, because, you know, you can't die, you can't lose, right?
Well, I don't think that necessarily means it's not a game. I mean, it has some very gamey elements where you have a character and you have a goal and you have an objective. And
You have a character?
Yeah, the little petal, the little glowy petal at the top, at the front.
That's a character?
That's your character.
I don't know if that qualifies as a character. The flower parts.
So, there have been a lot less descriptive characters. How about a circle with a triangle taken out of it? That's a character?
Well, at least he's got an eye.
So, if the little glowy petal at the front had an eye, that would make it
okay,
a character.
Okay, fine. I mean, I just didn't... When I was playing Flower, like, I don't know. It didn't seem like I was playing a game. Like, the game that it most reminds me of is Rez. But Rez seems like much more of a game than Flower. You know, you have a score with Rez. And,
but you have to shoot things,
you know,
in
you
Rez.
You can die, and you're shooting things in Rez. And, you know, you have to... It's stressful when you play Rez. Like, you have to really focus.
I mean, I guess the game you would compare it to the most, obviously, would be Flow. But I think Flow... Flower
kicks
has
the shit
more
out of Flow.
Yeah, this it does. I mean, Flower has an objective. My story about playing Flower is I started playing it. I'm playing the first level. Halfway through the second level, maybe even earlier than that, my wife is sitting next to me on the couch. She grabs the controller out of my hands, and the next thing I know, she's on the fourth level, and I don't get to play the game anymore.
I thought you were going to say that she had a seizure.
She had a seizure. No, then she handed the baby to me and said, "I'm playing now." So
and then she bit her tongue off.
Basically.
So I mean, I really liked the game a lot. The ending is awesome. I think, I don't want to sound like
I haven't finished,
you know, fruity
it, so don't spoil
here.
It.
Oh, you didn't finish it? Okay, well, I'm not going to ruin it, but the ending is, the last level is so, I don't know, I don't want to say moving. I feel like I'm using too strong of a word, but I think I had chills when I played the last level.
Did you get weepy?
I did not get weepy, but I think I had chills. Now, it could have been because it was cold in my apartment, because I didn't turn the heat on that day, but I really think I had chills, and I don't know, you know, it's tough for a cheap-ass game, or it's tough to say to somebody, you know, spend $10 on a game that, I don't know, it lasts an hour, maybe? But I feel like I got my money's worth. I feel like it was something that I was glad that I experienced.
I think the game's longer than an hour, because I'm an hour. How many levels are there?
Six.
Six, yeah, I think it's a little longer than an hour.
Okay, hour and a half, tops.
Maybe, I don't know.
But... You know, I think it's a game that, I think it's something that you should experience if you're looking for something. You know, the visuals are awesome, the music is awesome. Play that with the headphones, by the way. That's a good one for the X4s too.
I will. I also watched Heroes with the headphones on because I have it hooked up to the TV too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's cool that you can have it hooked up to a console and your TV at the same time.
Yep.
I like that. But yeah, I watched Heroes with the headphones on. Not the best episode of Heroes, but it sounds good.
I didn't watch the latest episode, but I did watch the one before it.
Oh, what'd you think of this?
It still sucks.
Yeah, you still think it sucks?
Yeah, it's pretty lame. The problem is, like, I'm watching these other shows that are so good, like Mad Men it just seems so silly. Like, this, the characters in Heroes are just, you know, they're like television show characters. They, you know.
You need more real characters.
They're not interesting. You know, because you can just because you can fly, it doesn't make you interesting.
That is, there's a lot of truth to that. Yeah. Have you been watching Burn Notice yet?
No.
What is your problem?
I don't sit at home and watch TV all day.
What do you do?
I sleep.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, really.
All right, let's talk about the Killzone 2 demo.
I never heard of it.
Shipwreck, did you play the Killzone 2 demo?
No.
Wombat, did you play the Killzone 2 demo?
No. We had this conversation before we did the show. Sony does not want Americans who are marginally interested in Killzone 2 to play the game. They're completely against it. They have no interest in people who are waiting to make their decision on whether or not they want it to make a decision on whether or not they want it.
Well, actually, what they want you to do is to pre-order the game at GameStop, and then they give you a demo code.
But I don't know if I want the game yet, so why would I pre-order it?
It's a weird marketing decision.
It is the most back-ass-word marketing move ever. It's dumb. It's a company that needs as many people interested in this game as physically possible if they want to save their own asses and have some sort of viable franchise on this console. And instead of making a demo readily available for everyone who has the machine, because that's who needs to buy this game, they're making it complicated. It just makes me mad.
Right, because it's available in the UK, and in America it's available for people who pre-order the game at GameStop. Sony is expecting big things from this game. I remember reading on Kotaku that they expect this game, or they're hoping that this game is going to sell as well as Metal Gear Solid 4.
It won't.
It's not going
Which is, you know, like 4 million copies or something?
I don't know. It may do well. I could see it doing well in Europe. I don't know how it'll do in Japan. Do you think this game will do well in Japan?
Oh, no. Come on.
But kidding? So who's the target audience for this?
America.
So why can't I play the demo?
I don't think you're wrong. I'm sure there's some benefits to partnering with GameStop in this. I'm sure they're getting like mentions in the newsletters and
if the advantages isn't cash up front,
they shouldn't bother. Then there's
That's the only thing I could see that would make this worthwhile to Sony. Because right now, I mean, I hate to say it, it's a good console. I'm playing more games on my PlayStation 3 now than I'm playing on any other console. And yet, I can't think of a successful first-party franchise on the machine right now.
Yeah. Well, I played the demo.
And by successful, I mean, like, has sold over 5 million copies of the game.
Well, 5 million?
Yeah.
Come on.
That's a very
high bar.
How many copies has Halo 3 sold? Well, how many copies of Gears of War sold? Didn't it sell like 7 million copies?
Well, I think there's only like 7.5 million PS3s sold in North America, I think. So
there needs,
5 million.
Yeah, well, 5. Okay, that, fine. I'll narrow it. I'll bring it down to 2 million. How many 2 million selling games are there on the PlayStation 3?
Halo 3 sold 9 million according to VG charts, which is not super popular. Well, not super accurate, but give you an idea. And Metal Gear Solid 4 sold 3.87 million. Anyway, whatever. Let's talk about the Killzone 2 demo itself. I'm sure.
And I bet I riled up a lot of people there.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'm sure it'll be fun. And now people have something to comment on to enter the contest.
I downloaded the Killzone 2 demo from the UK PlayStation Network. I made an account and went through all that, which wasn't too much trouble. I played through the demo, I think, 3 times, maybe 4. It seemed, you know, good to me. It didn't blow me away. Like, the graphics are great, obviously, and I enjoy the way the enemies react when you pump them full of bullets. I have to agree with our friend Rusty at UGO, who is complaining about the controls. You can't, you know, there's several different control options, configurations, but you can't customize them to your person, you know, to whatever you want. You can't map the buttons to whatever you want. So I had a tough time because I want to use the L1 button to zoom in, like Call of Duty. But then if you do that, you have to use L2 for cover, you know, to stick to cover, which is really awkward. I mean, you know, on your hands to try to get that going. Popping out from cover using L2, you know, letting go of L2 and then having to use L1 and then R1 to shoot. Just too much shit. Although I hear in multiplayer, which is supposed to be like the best part of the game, there's no cover system in multiplayer. So that complaint goes away. But I don't know. I'll pick up the game. I'll tell you what, I enjoyed Flower way more than I enjoyed the Killzone demo. I mean, it's not even a comparison for me. But it's been getting great reviews. That's for sure. I mean, crazy good reviews.
Yeah, it is getting crazy good reviews, and it makes me very interested, and I'm sure I'm going to pick it up. I mean, regardless, just because I probably should. But it's just so many things in general. Like, and I know Sony needs – it does. They need this game. And I think one of the things that's important that we – you know, I'm not talking about, you know, whether or not the console is any good or if the games on it are any good. They're great games, and it's a great console. But if this game isn't successful, third-party publishers are going to slowly stop making games for that console.
Right.
Because it won't make sense fiscally to do it. And I think the best example of that lately has been, I think Left 4 Dead has been a huge surprise as far as its sales numbers. And I can't confirm this, but I did talk to someone earlier in the week, and we had a conversation on whether or not someone in the industry, who shall remain nameless, and we talked about on whether or not it was intentional to not release a PlayStation 3 version of Left 4 Dead, and if there was ever money set aside to make a PlayStation 3 version, and what was done with that PlayStation 3 money as opposed to making a port of the game, and that money may have been sunk into marketing.
I think it was sunk into whores.
It could have been sunk into whores and marketing.
Right.
But Left 4 Dead did some great advertising stuff with big billboards, and they had that. They projected it onto a side of a building, the game, people playing the game in San Francisco. You know, they did some clever, different things, and it's just a great game in general. And it's only a matter of time before companies that may already have budget set for games that they're not producing and being like, you know what, we could take this PS3 budget, you know, where our last game only sold 100,000 copies to this 300,000 copies, save that money and use it toward a little bit towards marketing, a little bit in our pocket, a little bit towards whores, and a little bit towards something else.
Yep. Could be. We'll see. Everyone pretty much gave Killzone 2 like a really good review, except for Edge Magazine, which gave it a 7 out of 10. And, of course, there was a huge internet backlash, which is pretty entertaining, much like when Yu-Gi-Oh! Gave it a B+, which is, you know, by all means a good score.
Well, at this point, making fun of people, that, especially Sony fanboys, I mean, they've kind of turned into this strange little breed amongst themselves where I don't know if they're just a very vocal minority or if there are a lot of people like this, but they're funny as hell.
I mean,
they're crazy. And it's almost worth making fun of the PlayStation 3 as often as you can just to get the crazy responses.
I mean, I can see people criticizing the Edge review because it's written for like a Harvard professor.
That thing is unreadable.
It's unreadable. Like, I challenge anybody who read that review, like, if you didn't actually skim like big sections of the review, just because it's, I mean, you know, as Shipwright pointed out to me, he's like, who's their target audience? I mean, people who play video games are reading this. They just want to get to the, you know, the details here. And there's, like, all kinds of overly descriptive language. And, you know, at the end of the day, they wind up giving it a 7 out of 10, and then everybody flips out. So I could see how you could have a problem with, you know, the way the review is written. But, you know, that's their opinion of the game. And to say that, like, they're wrong, you know, the guy, or rather the guy who wrote the review, is wrong. I mean,
yeah, and
you know, this is opinion. He can't be wrong.
Edge also gave Resistance 2 a 6 out of 10. So, I don't know. Maybe that upset the Sony fanboys as well. But, I mean, obviously Edge just doesn't like that type of game, I guess.
Yeah, could be. Anyway, I'm looking forward to the game, especially, I mean, the multiplayer is supposed to be awesome, and I do have that cool PS3 Bluetooth headset that I haven't really used, so I'm looking forward to giving it a shot.
I have the not cool headset for the PlayStation Bluetooth headset.
The SOCOM? The original SOCOM, yeah, for the PS2 headset?
No, well, I have the original SOCOM PS2 headset, and I also have my Warhawk headset, so maybe I'll actually...
Oh, the shit one.
I could crack that out, and we could play some Killzone 2 together.
Okay, very good. Let's move on to Nintendo.
Yes.
Now, you have, Wombat, you picked up a DS game.
I did. I got it from Xseed Entertainment. They were kind enough to send a copy of the Retro Gaming Challenge.
Really?
For me to play. Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know you had such contacts.
I'm a man about town. And let me tell you about this game also. It's a lot of fun.
Retro Gaming Challenge. Now, this is the game that came out in Japan. And in fact, there's a video series about this.
Like, yes, there is. It's based on the Japanese TV show of a different name. And you play not as the main character of the show, but as someone that the main character of the show sends back in time to play video game challenges with his younger self. Did that make sense?
Sure.
Okay. And what you do is you have to play a series of challenges based on 8-bit classics. Of course, the twist is all these 8-bit classics that you're playing are not real games. They're actually new original games, sort of, made up for this DS cart. All the games are really just sort of, they're all 8-bit games, but they're all knockoffs of games that you may remember. You know, the first game is very much Galaga, but it's not Galaga.
Right.
And you have to do, you know, each game has 4 challenges. And there's 8 games in total. I've unlocked 7 of the 8 games at this point. I only have 1 game left to unlock. There's a Galaga clone that I played. There's this sort of like a platformy kind of, almost like more like original Mario Brothers than Super Mario Brothers kind of game. And there's a top-down racing game that's a little bit reminiscent of RC Pro-Am. And there's another shooter that's more like a Xevious kind of shmup shooter. 8-bit style.
This sounds pretty cool. Sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, and then there's the RPG, which is what I'm up to now, and it's, you know, an 8-bit RPG. It's very much like Dragon Quest, almost a little bit like Phantasy Star 1. And it's not bad, except I think I kind of want to be done with it by now to unlock the last game, but they make you play that game for significantly longer than the other games.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, just let me get to the... Let me just unlock Super Gadget Man 3 so I can see what that's like and just say I have all the games. But it's a really good game. It's a lot of fun. It definitely diverted my time on the train. I recommend it. It's right now, I think it's $30.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's a $30 game. It's probably a really good $20 game. But it has a lot of fun touches, like... the character that you play as, you're playing with another kid, and that kid collects gaming magazines. He collects Game Fan magazine, and you could read the magazines, and the editor's name is Dan Sock, and there are codes in the magazines for games, and you could actually punch them in. Like, if you hit the start button and then push left, AABB, you'll get infinite lives, and you wouldn't know that unless you thumb through the magazines that are in the game. So it's kind of cool in that sense. So it has a couple little things going for it. It's a good little game.
All right.
It's a good little game, and I recommend it.
All right. Retro Gaming Challenge for the DS.
Yeah. Pick it up or something.
Now, Shipwreck, you picked up a game for the Wii.
Yes. I actually, before that one, I remembered I did have a DS game that South Peak sent me that is actually a good little diversion as well. It's only $20, so it's already at the right price point. But it's Big Bang Mini. I don't know if you have seen this one at all.
I have not, but while you talk about this game, I'm going to go take a leak because I've drank so much water because of my throat that I have to pee now.
That's code for Cheapy could care less about the
game.
No.
I got that code.
I'm sitting here with my fist in my crotch trying to
Go talk about your Big Bang Theory.
Or I was going to piss. I could piss in this glass that's on my desk. I could do that too.
I think you should piss in the glass. And you know, we'll pretend we can't hear it, and you get to go talk about your game.
That's very uncouth. I'm going to go to the bathroom instead. All right, go on with Big Bang Mini. I'm going to make a big, big piss maxi.
Big Bang Mini, it's a shmup of sorts. It controls entirely with the stylus. So the way that you shoot things on a top screen is you kind of make flicking motions up at them. So you can't really move and shoot at the same time. Because the way you move around the screen is by having the stylus on your little... It changes per level, but it's like a little, I don't know, circle or square. Just depends on what level you're on. And you just have to like kind of move that around and dodge things and then shoot up at the top screen. But it's kind of interesting because when you miss things on the top screen, it acts like a firework. And so you're actually creating a lot of the stuff that you're dodging on the bottom screen, because it hits up there and creates like the standard kind of shmup patterns where they're all radiating, like a whole bunch of bullets are radiating outward. So you have to dodge through those. And it's just a good little $20 game. I'll have a review up on the site pretty soon for it, because I beat it in about 4 hours or so, which I think is pretty good for that amount of money. And then the Wii game, Cheapy, you said that I got was, I just got it today. Sega sent me, for the PlayStation 3, they sent me the Sega or Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection. And
oh, I picked that up over the weekend. I picked that up for the 360 because it has easy achievements.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Have you started that yet?
I played a little bit of Alien Syndrome on it.
Ah.
Yeah, the first game everybody went for, and they popped that in.
Actually, no, I went to see what games you needed to unlock, and I directly went to play the games that I needed to play to unlock the other games.
Oh, okay.
Like, I wanted the arcade version of Fantasy Zone, so I actually played Flicky until I got 80,000 points.
Oh, okay. See, I haven't looked up how you unlock anything yet. I just...
I don't recommend anyone ever playing Flicky to get 80,000 points. And I did it, and I'm glad I did it, because I really do like the game Fantasy Zone a lot. It's one of my favorite games from the past. But, oh my god, Flicky is so horrible. It is such a bad game.
I play my own version of Flicky. It's I flick my boogers across the living room.
Yeah, but you flick something else, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My wiener.
Ah!
Yes.
Anyway,
yeah, but the other game, Sega sent me was House of the Dead Overkill, which I think is the new reigning champ for a number of F-bombs per sentence. This, like, it's still got the kind of over-the-top, like, kind of campy, I don't know, grindhouse type of movie type thing to it, but it is really vulgar now. At one point, one of the other characters suggests the person take a deep breath and stick their wiener in their mouth.
this is a victim of bad, Japanese translation. Right?
No. This is straight up supposed to be this way.
Can you do me a favor, Cheapy?
What?
Just take a deep breath and put your wiener in your mouth.
Exactly.
See, it's possible.
Yeah. It's perfectly natural to say that. Is the voice acting terrible to top it off?
Yes, but it's supposed to be. I don't know. I mean, it's really, really, like, absurdly obscene. But as far as the gameplay goes, it's pretty standard House of the Dead type of stuff. The only problem is the Wii can't keep up with it. It drops a lot of frames. So the gameplay is good, and I think it'll be even more fun. Like, I'm three levels in. I just started playing it about an hour or so before we started recording. And it seems like it has a lot of unlockables, and the environments and everything, and the zombies, like, shooting off their arms and their heads and everything. That it's nice and looks okay for a Wii game and everything, but it's just kind of disappointing that the Wii can't, like, keep up without stuttering, like, every few seconds. But, I don't know. I'll have a review up for that at some point, too, but it's kind of fun.
All right. Very nice. We actually had stuff to talk about with Nintendo.
Look at that.
Amazing. And I got to pee at the same time. Everybody wins.
You got to pretend that you were in the conversation for Nintendo when really you don't care.
Well, it was either that or piss my pants. And there's so much pee came out of me, I think I would have filled this glass up. It would have overflowed. So it was good that I actually went to the toilet.
I don't know. I would have liked to have heard about that. Anyway, what's next?
Kegs on news. I mean, do we need to mention any of these things here? I mean,
no.
Not really, right? G4 is cutting Attack of the Show. I mean, X-Play, they're cutting the staff, and they're cutting the... It's only going to be on three times a week. Is anybody watching that show anyway?
No.
All right. Well, screw it then. Let's do some keg bag and then call it a day.
That sounds good to me.
Hey, Cheapy and Wombat, and I guess, Shipwreck, too. This is from Johnny to 2900. When you guys were dating your current wives, did you tell them you guys were gamers? Or did you wait until you guys were married? Also, when you were dating, did your girlfriends ever happen to be big-time gamers? Now, I want to rephrase this question for Shipwreck.
Okay.
When you were dating your current wife, how long did you wait until you showed her your spreadsheet that chronicled your G.I. Joe collection?
Well, considering that he was 7 years old when they started dating.
Is that true?
Well, see, when we started dating, I pretty much had the entire basement at my parents' house to myself. So, and it was a very large basement. And I had these acrylic mirror-backed cases that hung on the wall where all my G.I. Joes stood up inside of them.
How many are we talking? How many G.I. Joes are we talking about?
Probably around that time, about 300.
And how old were you?
When we started dating, I was 17.
Oh, okay. So Wanda wasn't kidding.
No.
Okay. Okay. So this go is, on. This,
yeah.
So this is high school.
Yeah, this is high school. This,
and she stuck by you even after seeing that, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what happens when you marry the first woman you lay.
Well, but wait a minute. No, that's what happens when you marry the woman that doesn't have a problem with your G.I. Joe collection.
Right. I mean, that's pretty much what you're looking for.
Yes, there. When you're 17.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have there's not that many out there that are going to see 300 G.I. Joes in a fancy.
No, and he knew a good thing when he had it, and that was it.
Yeah.
He was done at 17.
That's it. He's like, I'm not going to find another one like this.
Nope, he cashed in his chips right there.
Well, I had a similar thing in that, like, my wife, she is into video games, but she was more into watching me play video games. So she didn't even care. Like, she didn't even need a turn. She just wanted to watch me play video games.
That's so weird.
So I, in a similar situation to you, Shipwreck, I'm like, how often am I going to meet a woman that not only likes video games, but she doesn't even want to play, but she wants me to play? We've gotten into fights. I mean, not recently, but we've gotten into fights because she wanted me to play games, and I just was tired and, didn't want to play. It's weird.
Yeah, I don't get that.
It's weird. What about you, Wombat?
I'd say it's more of a quiet tolerance.
Well, she likes to play too, though.
She does. She likes to play. There are certain games that she does like to play, and she also is, big on playing casual PC-type games, which is good for me also. But it's more of like an acceptance of, well, this is what I like to do. So, and there are games that she does enjoy watching, and there are times when she enjoys watching me play the game. It's not the only thing she likes to do. She, probably would rather watch something that she would rather watch, but it's definitely acceptance more than anything else. It's not we don't really fight about it.
Right, I understand. But let me tell you this. If she listens to the show and hears about Shipwreck's G.I. Joe collection, you're going to be looking pretty good.
Oh, she'll chime in about my Star Wars figure collection.
Oh,
yeah,
that reminds me of my...
I don't have a leg to stand on, but I'll still make fun of Shipwreck. Okay, yes, yeah. Go ahead.
At my, we had a big party for my 30th birthday over here. And so all kinds of people that hadn't been over to our house yet or whatever, just like friends of, like people that she works with, the other doctors and everything, they all come over and they're all like, they all have like their Wiis and stuff and like their little video game collections or whatever. So I take them down into my basement. Throughout the whole night, I come up and people are thanking me for their wives not thinking that they have a huge collection. Like they're not complaining about them having 6 Wii games any longer.
Right.
Yeah. Like, so yeah.
Hey, at least I'm not like that guy.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. That's what it was.
That guy's messed up. You see what he's got going on in his basement?
Did you ever date a gamer prior to your wife, Mr. GPD? I'd ask Shipwreck this question, but
no.
He didn't date anyone else.
No.
No, me neither.
Other people.
Let me think. No. I mean, I didn't date a lot. I didn't. Like I said, I couldn't really get any women. I got a few here and there, but none of them were gamers. No.
And in like 2 days, when do you really have time to ask?
Right, exactly. They never really lasted that long.
No. Because when I was in college, my favorite pickup line was, "Hey, do you have air conditioning?"
I don't get it.
In the summer, it gets really hot in Pittsburgh, and we had no AC.
Oh.
So I would just find someone with air conditioning so I could crash at their place for a little while.
That's good.
Yeah.
My pickup line was, "Do you want to have sex with me?" No. It was like, "Do you want to smoke weed?" That was what I.
That's a good line though, because people like that.
They like weed?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's the only thing I could really bring to the table. I didn't have much else going on.
No, I played the guitar a lot more in college too.
Hmm. Or do you want to take it? You want to take a hit from the 6 foot bong?
And then you'd point to your pants?
No, no, no. Then they would take a hit from the 6-inch bong. All right. Here's a question. And maybe Shipwreck can chime in and hear what he thinks. And this is from MSU Hitman. And I know I sort of touched on this earlier, but hey, it's in the CAG bag. I'm going to read it. "Sorry for beating a dead horse, but are you sure everything is cool between you and the entire Kotaku staff, including Crescente? This last Sunday, they made their traditional deals post and went to the length of linking to some other site about," and I'm not going to even mention their name because why give them a free plug, "about some deal. And then I made a comment about calling them out about it, and one of their responders said that this site has 25 registered users and only the admin makes posts, and pretty much everything there is a ripoff from CAG. Maybe you need to approach more of the Kotaku staff instead of just Crescente. It still sucks to see all the work you and the communities go unrecognized by the largest gaming blog in the world." And then it says, "Wombat, if you're at an event with some of these guys, maybe you could approach them also, as Cheapy would only get to see them in person as E3. No, I don't think there's anything, any bad blood between us. In fact, I just mentioned how they posted, Kotaku posted the Wall Street Journal thing, and they linked to us. They posted the Street Fighter 4 not sold out in Japan thing. I think it's all water under the bridge. I think that in the grand scheme of thing, that whole Xbox Pure thing really does not matter anymore. Although, now, anytime that they do post something from CAG, somebody in the comments always has to make a comment along the lines of, "Oh, I guess CAG has their credibility back," which isn't helping things, I'll tell you that much.
Well, I think the only reason they're kind of quoting this other site is because he's submitting stuff for them,
yes,
to post.
Yes,
and when you're
exactly
working for one of these blog websites, you get something in your inbox and you're looking for a story, you're going to run with it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, and then they don't have to say that they sourced it from, you know, somewhere else. I mean, just like it came to their inbox and yeah, you run with it. And I, you know, I would do the same thing.
Right. And you're
do that though. I don't submit my stuff to other sites. If, you know, if I happen to see somebody on Instant Messenger that writes for a blog or something, and I think that it might be something they might be interested in, it's never a deal usually. Cause I don't know. I feel like these, I don't know.
Well, why would we need to submit deals to
right
Kotaku and Joy? People know CAG.
Where to come. They know where to come if they want deals, I feel. If I tell the Street Fighter 4 thing, I would, you know, I mentioned that to Ashcraft because he's on my Instant Messenger. And, you know, I talked to him a lot because he's in Japan and we're both awake at the same time. So, you know, I throw some stuff his way and he's gracious enough to post some of it now and then, which is definitely appreciated. Okay. SSSSSS says, "If you ordered a porno to watch with your wife, but accidentally had it shipped to your parents' house in Florida, what do you think their reaction would be and what would you say? And P.S. has this happened before?" Who would order a porno on a DVD in this day and age?
I mean, really, that's what the computer's for.
Right. Are we in the Stone Ages now? I mean, when's the last time anybody... I mean, that's why the porn industry is doing so bad right now. Why would you need to buy a porn DVD when you can go to Pornhub or any of the PornTube or whatever those sites are? I mean,
there's guys that go to FYE in the mall and buy all those DVDs.
as you know.
Yeah, I was buying him. He's sitting there with the soccer moms, just got his porno.
Got his porno. FYE sells full-on porn?
No, they sell like the Playboy and the Penthouse videos or whatever. That's the
amazing thing. Why would you even buy that? Like, why would you even buy like Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue? I mean, who even cares?
Why, if you were gonna buy that, why would you go to an upscale mall in the middle of the day? Wait in
There's
line.
There's an upscale
with,
mall in Cincinnati.
Well, it's our nicer mall. It's got the Anti-M's and everything.
I got two words for you, Shipwreck. Crystal meth. It makes people do weird things. All right, let me do a few more things here, and then we'll wrap it up. Zavin says, hey, Cheapy, just wondering if you ever thought about playing basketball. It seems like I'm seeing more of the taller, white, bald, not completely athletic players. I was always very bad at basketball. In fact, my dad put me in a basketball league, a local basketball league, when I was, I'm going to say like 13 or 14. I don't think I scored any points the entire season. It's pretty embarrassing. It's really sad. And I was tall.
You know who is good at basketball? Ginger Spice. He's pretty good.
Is Shipwreck good?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm decent. I played varsity in high school, so.
We should play like one-on-one, you and me. That would be really funny.
Let's do that.
You would be so embarrassed.
At E3. We'll tape it.
That would be awesome. Because I think Shipwreck will embarrass you.
Oh, I'm sure.
You've never been embarrassed before.
Yeah, I mean, I probably can't even run for 2 minutes without, you know, coughing up a lung at this point. Anything else here that we need to get to? I mean, we don't need to get to anything. All right, maybe we'll wrap it up because it's getting
late. I'm sure there's a question about poop that's just dying to be
Well, Charlie Tony wanted to know if when I move back to the States, will I be buying a crazy Japanese toilet like I have in Tokyo? The answer is yes. Once you live with having a clean ass every time you take a shit, it's like impossible to go back. I would never want to be without that for any extended period amount of time. And I think it's good for your ass too.
You know? I'm sure it is. What is it?
I know. Here's one question for Wombat and then we'll go. Johnny Ebb says, what was your first, oh, I guess it's for both of us. What was your first thought when you met each other? So what did you think of me, Wombat, when you first met me?
I'm trying to remember. I think I was definitely, it was a question of, oh, that's GPD from Cheap Ass Gamer. I better be on my best behavior.
No, give me a break.
Pretend that I'm a professional. Oh, no, well, definitely.
Yeah. My first impression, we met it at Defender's Game Store,
at
right?
At Defender, yeah, on St. Mark's, yep.
Which is long gone, I think. Multimedia 2.0. I remember when you first called me, you made a big deal that you were from Don Buckwald and Associates.
I don't know if I made a big deal.
Well, you didn't make a big deal. I made a big deal.
I think you made a big deal.
I made the big deal. I made the big deal when I heard that because I knew that name from Howard Stern. And then when I met him in person, I was like, oh.
That's the same reaction I had when I met him.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's probably
common. You were pleased to meet me.
I was like, that's it? This is the big agent that's going to make me famous. This guy's like, just a young punk.
I was a young punk. I was so young.
Right.
What was I, 26?
It was a long time ago. It was
I know.
It was 4 years ago? More?
Yeah. More?
All right. Wow. Let's call it a day. I want to thank Shipwreck for joining us today, putting up with us.
Thanks for having me.
I want to remind everybody
Shipwreck
that they can
was
follow
on the show?
Shipwreck was here. He was a good contributor. I want to remind people to follow us on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/cheapyd or /wombat5277 or /shipwreck.
And remember, Shipwreck thinks that the PlayStation 3 sucks, and he wants you to tell him how outraged. Because he does. He told me before the show, he goes, the PlayStation 3 is the worst console ever made. He said this, not me. He said it's the worst console ever made, and that Killzone 2 is at best a 5 out of 10.
Well, I don't know.
That's what he told me. I'm just passing along information.
Okay. Also, we never talked about this week, Wombat, but you can still support the CAGcast by getting a two-week trial for free of Netflix. You can stream it on your Xbox 360. You can even stream it on PlayStation. There's some software called Play On that'll let you do that. Just go to netflix.com/CAGcast and, hook us up. And any other shout-outs I need to give? I'm going to give a shout-out to Danny Chu. That's Choo, DannyChu.com. He had a networking event in Tokyo like 2 weeks ago that he invited me to. I'm going to do a blog. I wrote like half a blog post about it. I never finished it with some pictures. Danny Chu is the guy that has a full-on stormtrooper outfit that he dances around Tokyo. And I mean, he does a lot of other things that are more impressive than that, actually. But that's how you might know this guy. Jon Snow took me to this networking event there, and we had a lot of fun, drank a lot of beers.
It sounds like a James Bond villain name, Jon Snow.
Yeah, yeah. He loves James Bond, by the way. He's a big James Bond fan.
He sounds like a James Bond villain name.
Well, he and I did some very un-James Bond-like things at this party, which included taking discarded sausages off of tables and eating them.
Was like, one of them a laser? Because that would be cool.
No, they were just somebody else's sausages that they ordered and then left behind and left the party. And we just, you know, we ate two plates of sausages like that. Very cheap-ass gamerish.
Very, very much so.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. We will see you next week.
Genesis. Absolutely Sega Genesis. It's gotta be Spider-Man. Sega Genesis. Definitely Strider. Sega
Genesis. Go with Strider, Spider-Man. Just two hot names of the games. Sega Genesis systems and games sold separately. Available at these fine stores.
Hi, everyone. This is Wombat here with Cheap Ass Gamer. Here at New York City Comic Con, talking with Sega and talking about the conduit. Who are you and what do you do?
I'm Eric Nofsinger. I'm with High Voltage Software, and we're developing for Sega a game called The Conduit. My role is I'm Chief Creative Officer, and I'm just happy to be here on Cheap Ass Gamer.
We're very happy to have you, and thank you so much for taking the time. The Conduit is a first-person shooter on the Wii, and I've seen it, and it looks great, but what are you doing differently? Because first-person shooter on the Wii, scary topic. Why should I not be scared?
Well, for starters, you shouldn't be scared because it's a good first-person shooter. I think we've gotten a lot of praise for our graphics, but if you just pick it up and play it, I think it's pretty clear that we've listened to a lot of what fans and other folks in the press have had to say about it. You know, we've really tried to take that to heart and not feel like we know better than the core audience. You know, yeah, we play a lot of shooters ourselves. But we're not so full of ourselves to think that we've got all of the answers. So part of that was really, you know, being very customizable. You know, every aspect of the game, of the control, of the turn speed, the sensitivity, the bounding boxes, even your HUD placement, everything is completely customizable and you can turn your HUD off, it's crazy the amount of customization you can do. I don't know of any shooter on any system that gives you quite the level of customization that we have in The Conduit. And just outside of that, I just think it's so much more rewarding with the Wii to just point and kill stuff. I think there was with Halo, you look at that, and that was really the first game on the console that brought people to first-person shooters. You know, before that, the idea of playing an FPS without a mouse was unheard of. Well, we're really hoping that folks feel the same way about The Conduit and the Wii, because really it affords a different kind of control mechanic where you're not having to interface with a shooter with two analog sticks. You know, you point at a thing and you kill the thing. It just feels right, and I gotta say, after a year and a half of working on this thing, when we play other shooters now, it always takes some readjustment because it just doesn't feel as intuitive.
Now the game has multiplayer. Tell me a little bit about the multiplayer. What can you tell me?
Okay, so the multiplayer, the bits that we've announced has been that we will have 16-player multiplayer. We'll have WeSpeak, which is awesome. It's a lot of fun to trash talk with your buddies. We'll have the usual suspects of Deathmatch, Team Deathmatch, Capture the Flag, lots of maps, and you'll be able to play as Trust or Drudge. And, you know, that's all given. We're going to have, you'd expect that, but we are going to be, over the next few weeks, we're going to be making some announcements. Of course, we'll let Cheap Ass Gamer know all about that because it's I think we have some stuff in there that will make it special for the Wii. That's not just just like we've done with the single player experience, we've tried to make that really something special and true to the Wii. We've tried to do the same thing with the multiplayer experience.
Excellent. So one of the things on the Wii that people seem to not be so keen on is the friend code system. Are there any talks about doing something that might be slightly different, a little easier to use in the current friend code system for the conduit for its multiplayer.
Yeah, we have lots of talks about ways to not use the friend codes or ways to use them in a more intuitive fashion. We've worked closely with Nintendo, and I think we've got some, you know, multiple contingencies there. We're really still trying to see if there's a methodology that we can implement that doesn't use friend codes at all. However, having said that, if we do end up using friend codes as is, it will be minimally the best friend code implementation it can be. You know, we've looked a lot at other types of implementations. We've worked closely with them. It'll at least be as good or better than it is in Mario Kart. You won't have the kind of situation you had with Smash Brothers, and you know, it's a little bit trickier to hook up with other folks and things like that. So we're trying to make it as seamless and as good of an experience as possible, because we realize that can be a real frustrating factor for folks, us included.
Excellent. And one last question. If you were given the opportunity, the conduit is a huge success, and Sega comes to you and says, please bring one of our franchises into today and make it a hit, what franchise do you want to do next?
Ooh, that's a kind of a tough one, because I think there are many, many classic Sega things, but I'll have to be a little bit of a purist here and say the original, to go back to Sonic itself, that although we've had a lot of sequels to Sonic, it still doesn't feel like we have our classic revisit of Sonic as a you know, 2D perspective. It could be 3D graphics, but a 2D perspective, classic Sonic style game, and I love that the old Sonic games, and I think that there's still an audience for that kind of thing. At least I'd buy it.
Excellent. I really appreciate you taking the time. I would have gone with Game Ground. I'm gonna go play the conduit, and I can't wait to give you some feedback.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.